Chapter 13. The End. I raced Terry, determined to stop him from hatching another bunch of eggs that might threaten our treehouse, not to mention our lives. But it wasn't Bill, the postman, at the door. It was Jill. She was panting as if she'd run the whole way over. "Was that Silky I saw?" she said. "Flying away from your treehouse with a giant gorilla?" "Yes," said Terry. I elbowed him hard. "He means no," I said.
"Yeah, that's right," said Terry. "I mean no."
Jill frowned.
"I'm sure that was Silky."
"But isn't Silky white?" I said. "All those cats were yellow, and they were flying. Does Silky fly? You didn't mention it on your poster."
"Well, she doesn't usually," said Jill. "But one of those cats was Silky. I'm sure of it. I'd recognise her anywhere. And you two know something, I can tell. You'd better start talking. And fast."
"I'm sorry," I said. "But it wasn't my fault. It was Terry. He painted Silky yellow and turned her into a canary. Well, a catnary, I guess. And then she flew away. I'm really, really sorry."
"A catnary?" said Jill slowly. "Terry turned Silky into a catnary?"
"Yes. And like I said, I tried to stop him."
"But I'm so glad you didn't," said Jill.
"Huh?" I said. "You don't mind?"
"Not at all," said Jill. "In fact, it's fantastic. I've been really wanting to get a canary, but I was worried that Silky would eat it. Having a flying cat is like having the best of both pets. Thank you, Terry."
"You're welcome," said Terry. "If you'd like any of your other animals converted, you know where to bring them."
"Thanks," said Jill. "I'll definitely think about it. Meanwhile, I'd better get home and put out some birdseed for Silky and her new friends."
After she left, Terry clapped his hands together.
"Well, that all turned out pretty well, don't you think?"
"I guess so," I said. "Except for one small thing."
"What's that?"
"We still haven't written our book!"
"There's no need to shout, Andy," said Terry. "Just relax. It will all be okay."
"In what sense can I possibly relax? And how can it all possibly be okay?" I said. "We still have no book and it's due in tomorrow. How are we ever going to think up all the stories in time, let alone write and illustrate them?"
"Easy," said Terry. "We don't have to think anything up. We've just lived through a really interesting day. All we have to do is write it all down, draw some pictures, and we'll have our book."
"You know, I'm much smarter than Terry. But sometimes I get this really weird feeling that he is actually much smarter than me."
"That's a crazy idea," I said.
"Oh," sighed Terry, disappointed. "So crazy," I said, "it just might work."
"What are we waiting for then?" said Terry. "Let's get started."
And so we sat down and wrote and drew.
"It's got a bowling alley. Terry, that's my head! Oops, sorry. A see-through swimming pool. Help! Help! Who said that? A tank full of man-eating sharks. Look out, Terry, behind you! Shh, don't interrupt me. I'm trying to feed the sharks."
And drew and wrote.
This might be a stupid question, Terry," I said. "But why are you painting that cat bright yellow?" "Because I'm turning it into a canary," he said. I started to explain to Terry that you can't turn a cat into a canary just by painting it yellow. But he said, "Yes, you can. Watch this." And he carried the dripping cat to the edge of the deck.
And wrote and drew.
Chapter 3. The Missing Cat. We watched the cat. I mean canary. Actually, I think I mean catnary. Until it flew out of sight. Then the doorbell rang. It was Jill, our neighbour.
And drew?
We raced and wrote. Upstairs. A big red nose filled the video phone screen. Uh-oh. It was Mr. Big Nose, our publisher. And He was angry.
And wrote...
Andrew? This week's episode, Barky and the Big Hole, starring Barky the Barking Dog.
And ah! Drew!
Barky is outside and discovers a small bird. Bark! 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 Bark!
And Drew? And
Terry's
Rose?
Was trembling as he poured the sea monkey eggs into the jar. He stirred it and held it up to the light. I've done it! He shouted. I'm a genius! I've created life!
And wrote... And Drew?
Who's the sneakiest sea monster of all? The human does not suspect a thing. He's such a stupid dingaling.
And Drew? And wrote...
Epic guitar solo into overdrive.
This looks like a job for Super...
Until exactly 4:45 p.m. the next day. We've done it! I yelled.
But it's 4:45, said Terry. How are we going to get it to Mr. Big Nose on time? Our deadline is 5:00. We'll never make it.
Oh, yes, we will, I said.
But how?
I don't know, I said, but we'll think of something. That's when we heard it. A jingling noise. Terry jumped up.
It's Santa Claus, he said. Quick, get the stockings, hang them up and pretend we're asleep.
But it's not Christmas Eve, I said. In fact, it's not even Christmas. We went to the edge of the deck, and this is what we saw. Jill was flying through the sky towards us in a pram drawn by Silky and the other flying cats.
Check out my flying cat sleigh, she said as she hovered in midair beside us. Wanna come for a ride?
We can't, I said. We're busy. We're trying to figure out how to get our book to Mr. Big Nose in the city by 5:00.
I could take you, said Jill. These flying cats are really fast. Come on, climb aboard.
And so we did.
Come on, cats, let's go. Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow.
We flew into the city, right up to Mr. Big Nose's office on the top floor of his building and pulled up next to his window.
What are you, cats, flying cats, what are you doing here? Oh, is that the book? Oh, I see, pass it through, well done.
And that's how we got the book to Mr. Big Nose on time. And then he published it. And it was delivered to bookshops, libraries, digital e-reading devices, and even transferred direct into people's brains via direct-to-brain information delivery technology helmets. Direct-to-brain information delivery technology is a direct-to-brain information delivery system so technologically advanced that Terry and I haven't even invented it yet. And Belinda Audio, where Stig Weems read it and it was released as an audiobook. And then you listened to it and we all lived happily ever after. Unless, of course, your life was tragically cut short as a result of having your brain fried by one of our prototype direct-to-brain information delivery technology helmets. The end. Belinda hopes you enjoyed the reading of The 13-Story Treehouse, written by Andy Griffiths, audio illustrations by Terry Denton, and read by Stig Weems. Our audiobooks are hugely popular all around the world. If you really enjoyed this audiobook, make sure you introduce your friends to it. Or even better, listen to audiobooks with your friends. If you want to hear more, there's more available online at belinda.com. Or you can write to us at the address on the back of this pack. If you like, we can forward your letters on to our famous authors and narrators. We know they're always happy to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and remember to always take a Belinda audiobook with you.